wish you would be more offensive about paranormal.
I don't like light.
It's a bit nutty.
I don't believe that it's all real.
I love you guys.
It's actually the most played podcast.
Everybody wants to see this full body naked version. That's the holy grail.
You can't choose between life and death when we're dealing with what is in between. Now tell her before it's too late.
Run to the light, baby!
I have seen a ghost in my life.
Be more offensive about paranormal because that's what we do best.
Welcome to Graveyard Shift, the podcast from Shift Films. I'm Frankie Campoletta.
And I am Jeremy King.
Welcome to season 3 of Graveyard Shift, where we are living
our best afterlife.
That's right, Jeremy. And what else can't you do? Well, you can't spell graveyard without gravy.
Yummy.
I'm your host, Frankie Campoletta. And with me, as always,
Jeremy
David King.
Jeremy David King.
David.
Jeremy, I guess we could kick this season off with our paranormal pit stops along the way toward our huge renovation of this podcast.
Oh my gosh, we stopped everywhere. I mean, there was like, we stopped like 90 times.
Oh, totally.
We went through Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, and back to Illinois.
And then eventually back into, we even stopped at Virginia Beach at some point.
We did.
We didn't do a paranormal pit stop there.
That was
you,
a...
But you guys were able to kind of come together and do a little bit of your throw ourselves in the ocean.
That's what we did. It's kind of a dare, or well, more of a bet.
More of a bet. So we want to be more direct, more on topic, and informative about the history behind the haunts. On this episode, we will take you through many pit stops we made along our journey with the truth in the paranormal world. Season 3 promises to be a little bit more spectacular, a little bit more informative, and above everything else, getting to the very heart of why things might, are, and can be haunted. Jeremy, what do you want to take us through? Our first stop along the way, we drive out of Illinois. There really wasn't much to do in Illinois at that point, and then we had this bright idea to stop somewhere as we're driving. Our co-pilot there, Jason Huffman,
Huffington,
was looking stuff up, and we found what?
The Hanna House in Indianapolis.
It's actually, the exact address is 3801 Madison Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana. And that's 46227.
And it was a enormous, enormous house. It was monstrous. And it had, for where it was a fairly large piece of property with an enormous house with a couple of other houses on the property, too.
Yeah, and the Hanna House would extend all the way back to a huge plantation at this part of Indiana. Now, this particular part of Indiana was part of the Underground Railroad.
Yes.
And so they actually dug up they've raised some streets there, and they actually saw these tunnels that go underneath. And most of the slaves going through Indiana would have wound up in Canada.
True. Yes.
And I guess that's kind of where the Hanna House story begins. Now, I will let you know that you're hearing background noise, and that's because we are actually podcasting from the KC Paracon, which is really, really cool. And we're going to have some pictures on our Instagram. We still have a Facebook, but we really want to do our business on Instagram. We want to talk about pictures, and we want to talk about new episodes, and we want to show you where we're actually standing, where we're doing our hunts, where we're doing our stuff. So just a brief interruption there, just so you understand, what's that background noise? So we're in the middle of a Paracon convention here in Kansas City, and we came up, and we're going to have to take a picture right now, actually.
Well, my phone's acting weird.
Well, yeah.
It's paranormal.
Oh. Did you see that?
It's the parafilter.
Oh.
That's weird.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. My phone's possessed. I need an old priest and a young priest.
Are you holding down?
No, I'm not touching. Look at this.
Whoa, my phone is possessed.
Super weird. I don't even know what's going on. Well, your phone's not possessed.
So back to we are at the KC Paranormal Conference, and we're going to do a little bit on the Hanna House first. So the Hanna House is something that we visit through a bunch of different events that have occurred throughout history. As it stands right now, Jeremy, the Hanna House is actually closed.
Yes.
That's correct.
From what I read or was told, that they had some of the flooring was not very, you know, sustainable for a guy my size. I mean, fall through. But it's an inadvertent elevator, but it only goes down.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely dangerous at this point, but they were doing a bunch of stuff prior to that.
Yeah, just a couple of years ago, it was pretty busy with, you know, having paranormal investigations and events there. And they didn't have anything formal there. You know, it was not in that type of shape, obviously, with the floors and whatnot. But they were having ghost hunts there.
Yeah, I guess we kind of went over across the street from where Hannah is to Midwest Scooters, where we met two lovely people, Steve and Heather.
And they were awesome.
And they gave us so much information about the actual house, because the person or the caretaker that was at the Hannah house just wasn't there at that particular moment. And so they were able to fill us in because they own a really cool Midwest Scooters, and they have, I think they're even expanding into like motorcycles. They're right on this, they're literally across the street. So they're 3709 Madison Avenue. And so if you're ever in town and you're looking for some really cool jetways, where it's scooters or this really cool Jeep that we posted on our Instagram feed.
It was a giant Jeep.
And so Steve and Heather went further and started telling us more about the house than we could have imagined. I mean, they knew so much. They were very knowledgeable about Hannah House. They had lived there.
They had been in there several times.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had visited with the owner. They knew the owner.
And they used to do, like, it was weird because it was a haunted destination, but they also used to do, like, haunted mansions within it.
So they had the... Ooh, that was paranormal. Not paranormal. Somebody dropped a drink. But they used to do all sorts of kind of haunted house type, you know, jump scare, bloody zombies coming after you.
Right. And so I guess they were trying to yield money. And so sometimes when you have these haunted events, you make your money in October, but is it enough to make, you know, 45 days? Let's just say we give 2 weeks in September as well. You know, is it enough money to carry you through basically everything else that's going on? And it's not.
No.
I mean, they were, I think Steve was telling us the worst thing they could have done, and this is terrible. It really is, to become a historical landmark. The Historical Landmark Society of the federal government is the worst thing you can do. It is the biggest headache. It is the biggest pain in the ass. It's not like the owners of the house can just go up there and patch the roof. They actually literally have to take before photos and after photos. And then they have to replace it with the utilities and the tools and the materials used back into, you know, the 1800s when this was built. So you're talking about slate roofing.
Right.
Which for that place would have probably cost close to, what do you say, $250,000?
$250,000. Yeah.
And so, you know, who has that? And plus, you know, you don't have any funding. So this is one of the reasons why it's sad, but the Hannah House is closed. And you can have a private thing set up, but I don't think he's that confident about letting you actually in the house.
Yeah, I don't believe the house is actually condemned.
No.
But, you know, with the... You know... That really does kill it. You think you're trying to save this building, and what's going to happen to this building is they can't afford to actually repair this building the way it needs to be repaired. So what's it going to do? It's going to sit and rot, and it's going to fall apart when you thought putting it on the historic registry is going to fix this.
Oh, 100%. And it was actually, it worked against them. And to Steve and Heather, thank you so much for talking to us and giving us the information that we needed to know about what the current condition is. Now, we were able to sneak a couple photos of the Hannah House that we'll post with this episode. So one of the new things that we're doing this year, you're going to have the episode that'll come up on Instagram. It'll show you what episode it is. And this is Paranormal Pit Stops. That's the episode name. And we're going to have all the photos of all the different places, and we'll have them nicely titled so you know which ones are in. And so we're starting with the Hannah House here. We'll get right into the lore and we'll move on to our next subject. So we're in Indianapolis. We're heading all the way to West Virginia to do the Greenbrier Ghost, and we stop at Hannah House. And I guess what is the real lore behind Hannah House, Jeremy?
So the house was part of the Underground Railroad, and there were, I don't know how many, 4, 5, 7 slaves that were in the basement, and they had an oil lamp. And one of them knocked it over, and they all burned to death. But, like, they didn't, you know, it's the Underground Railroad. They can't just take these people out and bury them in a plot. So they actually dug out the basement and buried them in the basement. So now, not only, you know, you have this tragic fire where these people died, now they're buried within the house. So some of the things that they were claiming they have happen is they're seeing these slaves, the apparitions of these slaves walking around the house. specifically in the basement, which would make complete sense. They also see a lady upstairs, and the proprietor of the home, Mr. Hanna, they see him around the property. The cool thing about this house, though, is the caretaker that's living there is the fifth generation of the Hannas. He doesn't have the last name because, you know, at some point there was a female that inherited the house, but it's still a direct descendant of the gentleman who built the house.
Which makes it an absolute... It's kind of what me and Chris Ketters were talking about, right, Jeremy, about the virgin hunt, right? The initial way that when you're going into houses and you're first exploring stuff, you know, there's the Yaks house. Where is that at again?
Villisca in Iowa.
And this is something that Chris had brought up on the other episode where Jeremy wasn't with us. Jeremy was actually at a paranormal event at Pythian. But so one of the things that we look at as paranormal investigators, but also we're more on the side of like the history and the truth first, and we'll understand why something's haunted before we just believe lore. And the good thing about Hanna House is the fact that this is the fifth generation of the Hannas, and they have not changed hands. No one has ever owned it prior, and it's all the original furniture. And even in the basement, they had preserves, remember?
Yeah, jars and canned vegetables and stuff.
And pickled meat and all
these. I think we should try it.
I think we should do an episode where we go down to the Hanna and we feed you a whole jar of peaches from the 1850s.
Why not?
It would be a haunted boop. I think your shit would be haunted.
Oh, my God. I think it would probably be nasty.
See, a little bit of the flair of the old graveyard is still here with us. Remember, Jeremy, because the one thing you can't do is spell graveyard without gravy.
Is it sausage gravy?
It's any gravy you want, and that's going to be our new T-shirt. We're going to have those printed. We have 4 or 5 shirts left. We're probably going to sell all of these today. We've done a great job selling our T-shirts. Thank you so much for your support. Our Instagram is on fire right now, more than our Facebook. Me and Jeremy have really tried to get away from our Facebook, but we're really just trying to promote it. So as soon as that shirt's up there, we'll have it for you. It'll be in our same beautiful colors. It'll have our big tombstone on the back so you guys know where you got it from. And then so from this, I think we're going to move on. So after we left Indiana, Jeremy, where did we head?
We headed to Ohio.
Ohio. And then we found Skyline Chili.
Yes.
Ate chili.
It was delicious.
It was amazing. Nutmeg and cinnamon.
It was so big.
A little bit different.
Yes.
We bought some officers a plate of chili. We bought their food for them because we support law enforcement. We sort of support our friend Kyle and Hannah and Hazel.
We love you guys.
We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being great listeners. But then we went to a paranormal pit stop in Ohio on our way, still going to West Virginia, to the Greenbrier Ghost, right? And
right.
So where did we stop, Jeremy?
We stopped at Lick Road. It was delicious.
So what is the legend behind Lick Road, Jeremy?
So the legend is that there was this lady, Amy, who was killed, possibly thrown off the bridge by her boyfriend. So, you know, it's way back in this forest preserve, you know, walk down this dirt road.
It's a Richardson Forest Preserve, and it's in Hamilton County. It's the Park District.
And it's the bridge is in bad shape.
It's in really bad shape.
I mean, I was leaning on that one support, and then we looked at it, and it was like laced with rust. You could see all the way through it. So, you know, I could have joined Amy.
Absolutely.
If it was real.
And there's a reason why they actually shut. You know, if you want to go and visit the bridge where Amy allegedly haunts the place, right, you have to go and check with the I think it's Hamilton County Park District, and they will take you through it. You shouldn't really try to do it on your own, but we can give you directions on how to get there and say that you at that point you shouldn't go down the two paths. But a little bit more on the story about Amy, Jeremy. What are some of the things that you can do to conjure up this spirit?
Well, one of the things they say is that you sit in your car facing the road, and you shut your car off, you flash your lights 3 times, and she comes walking to you.
An orb.
Yes. Or so,
or
they,
her.
Yeah, or a person. The other thing is you sit in your car and let it run, and she'll write "help me" on the windows in the mist.
The condensation.
Yeah, the condensation.
So that's pretty interesting. So this paranormal, let me tell you something. This was one of the coolest walks that we actually did. So Not that we were breaking the law, because we didn't know, and there were no trespassing signs. They were not posted.
No, the gate was open.
The gate was open. There was no signs that we saw all the way down the road that we drove down, okay, which is it's in the Colerain Township of Ohio. But Lick Road is, if you just take it all the way down, you actually dead end into a field. There are two paths. There's a field to your right, and there's the path to the bridge, which is to the left, that follows the creek all the way to the bridge.
Yes.
And so we started walking down there, and then I remembered that I left my keys in the car with the windows down, and I'm like, well, I don't know what kind of neighborhood this is. So I said, well man, I got to turn around. And the minute I do that, I heard Jeremy call me. He's like, nope, come back.
Yeah. It was literally like Huffman was already standing on it, and I walk around just this blind corner, and it's right there. And you were probably 50 feet back.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible, the fact that, you know, we had came back, and then you're like, it's the bridge. And I was like, oh, shit. So I basically ran back and said, fuck it. If there's a locust or some kind of grasshopper in my car, we'll deal with them when I get back.
Or a deer fly.
Or a deer fly. Yeah, I'm getting that later. And so we basically were able to walk this bridge. It's very unsturdy.
I mean, it's not like we felt like we were going to fall through, but you definitely don't want to drive your truck across it.
No, that was like lace rust, I think you called it.
Yeah, it was. It literally was that thin.
It was.
You could see through it.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And clearly it's close to the public and you really can't drive there, but it's a high bridge.
Yeah, it's at least 30, 40 feet up.
Yeah, at least three.
If you fell, you would die.
Especially like the water's real low,
and there's a lot of rock.
Yeah, water level's low, and so you just it would not be a fun fall.
No,
you would definitely snap something.
You would bounce on something that's sharp.
And so this is a great place to actually, you know, I guess you could murder yourself. But here's the thing, and what we always try to do with everything that we focused on, especially for season three, is getting the truth behind the story. And what did we find out, Jeremy?
Well, it turns out that they don't really have any records of anybody, especially anybody named Amy, dying there.
And the guy that the chief ranger for the Hamilton County Park District, when asked, who has held this position for over 20 years, he says there's no records of any deaths, natural or otherwise, at the Richardson Forest Preserve. However, this is where kind of lore and tales of salacious natures kind of rear their ugly heads. And we give somebody a name, and we give somebody a story. And the real story actually is a terrible story.
Yes.
That actually happens to a person, a young 15-year-old girl that was hitchhiking near North Bend Road. And she was picked up by two men in 1975, a 1975 Volkswagen. And the year was 1976. So it was a fairly brand new Volkswagen, and two men picked her up, and the following day her body was found under a bridge at the corner of Crest and Banks Road, which is close to Lick Road. The autopsy revealed that she had been stabbed and strangled to death, but due to lack of blood around the body, and this is what we saw in the West Memphis 3, right? Lack of blood near the body, and you are able to kind of just
if you want to take one, just like us on Facebook or Instagram.
Like us on Instagram. Give you a sticker.
And, thank you.
And so we saw that with the West Memphis 3, right? Where there was no blood around the boys. This
None.
Is the same kind of predicament. And it looks like they had strangled her to death. The report doesn't say anything about any kind of sexual abuse, but the 15-year-old girl was found underneath a bridge. And it's really close to Lick Road, so we believe what happens is that this story kind of gets mixed up. And, of course, that... But it's a famous case. It's a cold case. The two men were never found. It happened on August 24th, 1976. And her name was Linda Dyer. And she was 15 years old. So if you're a true crime guys like you are with us, or true crime gals and girls, and you're looking to have a cold case in Ohio, if you're in the Cincinnati area, the Linda Dyer case is still an open investigation. And as we always say, there's over 120,000 cold cases, and 1% are ever solved. So here's a real chance to solve the Linda Dyer tragedy that befell this girl. This looks like it was a hitchhiking incident that happened. This is something that we see a lot around these areas, is that hitchhiking was a thing. I mean, people trusted people.
It was so safe.
It was
not.
It was safe back then, though. I mean, typically it was safe in the 60s and 50s. I mean, this is something that people did.
I mean, right? you might run into Large Marge.
And so that's the legend behind Lick Road in Ohio. And as you can see, yes, it's scary. But you know what? As many people have told us, you know, the best way to investigate something is to actually go through the motions. Go out there and park your car. See if you could help me written in the moisture of your car and in the dampness of the windows and the condensation. Or blink your lights three times and see if you can get an orb to appear. Or see if, you know, somebody's calling out to you. So that Correct. Is basically Lick Road. That's Ohio. And we're going to move to our next pit stop, which is a paranormal pit stop because we're there to do Greenbrier Ghost, which will be its own episode in total. And so we approach Elmwood, which is a beautiful estate home that's been there since the 1850s. It was sacked by the Union Army. At one point, it lined up over 10,000 Confederate troops.
It was amazing.
It was incredible. And we had the opportunity to stay in the part of the house that is known as the ranch house that has a foundation that might have been the slaves' quarters of where we were staying. Now, the ranch house is beautiful. It's modern. It has the best showers that I've had this side of the mountain.
The shower was great.
And you are in the middle of nowhere at Elmwood.
We were outside. You could see the Milky Way.
Yes, absolutely.
It was incredible.
And that's not a joke. I mean, you could see every star. You could see galaxies.
We had to use a flashlight to walk out there to look at it. It was that dark because there's nothing around there. There's absolutely nothing.
There's absolutely nothing. And I think that when you look at all the information that's happening within Elmwood today, and where Anita, who basically owns the place with her husband, have this gorgeous, I mean, they even have a red brick barn. And so we were stationed at the ranch house, and they were telling us a little bit about the history. And there's even an African-American slavery graveyard that they kind of wanted to put and relocate underneath a beautiful tree to give them more significance. Now, you are in the South. Confederate memorials are all around you. And you have to, at this point, really understand that the landmarks of the Civil War was a war that was fought. It's the only war that was fought on American soil, aside from the Revolutionary War, where you have, you know, Americans fighting Americans.
Yes.
So no matter where you stand with memorials, where you stand with Confederate troops, they are, as an act of Congress in 1957, they are considered veterans of the United States of America, and they are allowed to have memorials. In this part of the country, you will see a lot of them. Now, if that disheartens you, if that offends you, then you shouldn't stay in that part of the country because they're not going to remove things that matter to them. Because these, regardless of our kin, are there. There are landmarkers everywhere for the Civil War and for the Union War. And they are, West Virginia in and of itself understood that the wrongs that were done to the people, I mean, people that own there know that. And so West Virginia is a tough country. If this is something that is mildly offensive to you or extremely offensive to you, like this exists. And you're not going to tear down the Confederate memorials here. They're going to stay, and they're going to be situated. They're surrounded by electric fence, cameras. I mean, they're serious. They're pretty serious when it comes to it. And staying at the Elmwood is part of not only history, but you're part of the Civil War. It was fought on the same grounds. I mean, that house is sacked, and it's beautiful. And it's very relatively cost-effective. I mean, the only downside that I would have is there is no air condition, but did we even need it?
Not when we were there, we didn't.
No, at night it was 60 to 59 degrees. It was beautiful. The windows open.
They had fans.
But it was creepy.
I'm telling you, man. We all three. We didn't. I thought the house was built. The ranch house where we stayed was built in the 70s. Just by looking at it, it looked like it was the 70s, mid-century modern, floor-to-ceiling windows. And they, you know, it was well done. It had been recently remodeled. But all three of us had experiences when we went to bed. We get there, and it's like 2 in the morning. We're dead tired. And, you know, when we finally do make it to bed, because that was an ordeal, you know, I think you slept with the light on, and I turned my light off. I was the last one to go to bed because I took like a 45-minute shower. And when I finally get into bed, I flip the light off, and I instantly have the feeling of being watched. And I close my eyes and I'm trying to, you know, go to sleep. And I roll over and I just so happen to look, and just for a split second, I saw somebody standing in the corner. And when I tell you that we had to use a flashlight outside to walk around, it was that dark in our rooms.
Yeah.
You couldn't see anything. But I could see, just for a split second, I saw somebody standing in the corner. And I was like, okay, you know, it's an old house, not a shock. But even Huffman talked about hearing weird noises. You had the second night, you had an encounter with a bird.
So both nights were... So Elmwood, when we were inside it, there isn't really a feeling of anything, really. There, it's kind of a dead space. It's kind of a really pretty, beautiful home that's been redone.
I felt like we were breaking and entering.
Well, I mean, there's that. But at the same time, like, when you are in the ranch house, Jeremy had an experience. Huffman was very unsettled in his room, and I could have sworn that same time, it felt like somebody had grabbed my leg and I woke up out of a dead sleep. And I was unsettled, and so, you know, thank God we had Wi-Fi in there, and I was able to get to Hulu and watch the Golden Girls because they make me happy. And I was able to sleep. Now, the following night, the last night that we stayed in Elmwood, we realized that where we're staying is on foundation, that there was something here, that this was a cell, that this was a slave's quarters, that this was something that was kind of menacing that they neglected to say because the house is kind of, and they don't really have to, but this was definitely built on something. There was ground and foundation stones.
I ended up going, found a way into the basement,
yeah,
which really is more of a crawl space.
And it's open. It's not that we broke an entering there. It's just they have a washer dry. This is where you would wash and you would dry, you know, your clothes and stuff. So, you know, when you come into it, you're looking at, like, a lot of different things that are happening within Elmwood. And so the next night, I'm sleeping there, and the idea behind it is that this bird just flies in my fucking window.
It was so weird.
And so I'm seeing him, and he's all, like, in the corner, and I'm trying to help him, and I'm trying to... And so finally I loosen up the screen, and he's able to move around. So at that point, you know, we were, like, done. And so basically that would wrap up Elmwood, Jeremy, I think.
Yeah, it really does.
And so we left there, and the next day we got to the center, and we'll tell you all a little bit about Greenbrier and our experience with Greenbrier and Tony and how she was able to put everything together for us, which was insane. And so we were actually able to leave West Virginia and head into Virginia, and that's coming up next. So, yeah, we just got just met some cool podcasters. They're just starting there out. They're called Paranormal Partners. They're on Facebook. They have over 13,000 followers because they do walking tours in Lincoln, Nebraska. So that's cool to find them.
Yeah, that's really awesome. They know their history.
And they do their history, and that is what we like to hear. You do your history, and then you can have real ghost stories with real tenacity. And when you're talking to these ghosts, you actually have some foundation, some understanding of who they were in life and as they were in death. So,
absolutely.
So this becomes something great. And as we close today on Paranormal Pit Stops Part 1, just like to thank you guys again for all the love and all the support and all the downloads. We're trying to make these shows a little bit more efficient, a little bit more commute-wise, keeping them about 30 to 37 minutes. If you have any questions, if you want to be a part of our show, great. Please visit our sister podcast at LostBoysOfHannibal.com. It's actually also on Apple iPod, iTunes store, and you can actually listen to all those episodes for free. There's one up there right now. It's me and Chris Ketters, who was on one of our episodes. Jeremy will be chiming in on that in the following episodes coming up next. But to right now, we want to just say thank you again for your support, and we look forward to you guys listening to part 2 of Paranormal Pit Stops coming up next.
All right.
As always, I am Frankie Cambaletta.
And I am Jeremy David King.
And we will be seeing you.